We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Inside information on your teams, honest opinion, and the biggest names in sports. It's time, Las Vegas, for the Playmakers.
Back on a Monday, Paul Ihander on the west side of the desk, 6.345 feet away, socially distant, is one Lindsey Brown.
And we are breathing.
We are indeed breathing. We are all going to have to take some deep breaths today. There's no doubt about it. Lots of things coming your way. We are going to talk some Golden Knights because at 5 o'clock, we do have a half an hour of the nightcap covering all things Vegas Golden Knights and NHL hockey. Of course, we'll be talking about that stuff throughout the show, but if you want a really focused hockey message, 5:02 tonight as we lead you into the Dodgers taking on the Dads.
The dads are back.
They take on the Dads again.
Oh my goodness! Well, did they win their last game? I know that they were 9-4, so now they're 10-4.
They're 10-5 now.
10-4, Gibber.
10-5.
Yeah, 10-5.
We're a quarter of the way through the baseball season. I mean, won in come from behind fashion yesterday.
Did they?
Yes, it was amazing.
Did it include an absolute snipe from an outfielder on a guy trying to, you know, take an extra base or two?
It did not, but there were a couple of home runs.
You know, we know how to win in many different ways in Dodger faithful land.
AJ Pollock and Mookie Betts both went yard for three run jobs. So that's what
Mookie and his middle finger are fine.
Oh, he's well fine. Matter of fact, you know what? For him getting paid as much as he has, he's nearly hitting 300 right now.
Is that worth it? Is that worth the money?
In a short season, for right now, he's making his money very well.
Especially if they get a ring.
If they could just get Max and Cody back on the stick, it would be we'd have a much happier time.
Don't worry about 3-5. We're going to be just A-okay. Greatness sometimes has to take a nap.
We hope so. So we're going to kick things off here. Right before we hit the check down, we're going to get you some breaking news here brought to you by Pennzoil. Motor oils made from natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil. As we're putting the show together literally within the past 15 minutes, multiple reports from Stadium and The Athletic and ESPN saying the Mountain West Conference is going to postpone the fall sports season. So that would be everything that they said they were going to move forward with, and now they're not going to because of the pandemic. This includes football.
I was
going to
say, does that include football? Yes. Yes, it does. And it seems like there is some sort of tsunami of collegiate sports news that has already been rumbling over the past couple weeks, but especially over the last 24 to 48 hours.
There's no doubt about that. Coming up at 3:18, we'll have Tony Cordasco, longtime voice of UNLV Sports on television and broadcast, and sometime co-host and guest host of this program, The Playmakers. He'll come on as he knows lots about the Mountain West and what this really means for a lot of the programs, especially when it comes to football. And we'll get him on here coming up at 3:18. But
all
for now,
hands on deck, Paul.
Yep, let's get you the five more big stories of the day.
It's your daily checkdown, powered by Radio.com Sports. Number one.
All right, so we're finally done with the play-in games and the round-robin games, and we finally have our schedules for the Eastern and the Western Conference of the National Hockey League Stanley Cup playoffs. This is the actual real part.
Yes.
The really real part.
There's been a lot of label confusion with what is playoffs, what is not, so much so that the NHL has even gone away with all the seeding besides, you know, that number one seed that the Golden Knights secured over the weekend with a 3-2 victory over the Colorado Avalanche. Ain't no thing. We're just leading the Western Conference. It's fine.
Yeah. The Knights and the Blackhawks, the 1 versus the 8 seed. The Knights will open up tomorrow night in a 7:30 primetime game. Game 2 will be a Thursday afternoon tilt, which will be not unusual, but a little weird, to be honest.
Odd.
Yeah, for two television markets of that size, Chicago and Las Vegas. And then games 4 and 5 will be over the weekend. And then the TBDs come later next week.
That's correct. 7-game series henceforth. It is officially kosher the rest of the way out. And it's going to be quite the test for the Golden Knights to try to dispatch the Blackhawks. Even though the seeding, we know who they took down, and we know what that team knows how to do, considering their Stanley Cup pedigree.
Well, we know what kind of team they'll be facing here too, in the Chicago Blackhawks, a team that absolutely surprised the Edmonton Oilers
exactly.
And neutralized their high scores.
And I don't know if anybody's heard, but Robin Lehner was actually on the Chicago Blackhawks earlier this season. He is now on our team. Sure, nobody's talking about it. None. So that will be a narrative we will
have
to
explore. There was a 4-second video posted today.
Oh, really?
Of Max Pacioretty literally gliding on ice. He looked like an 8-year-old just stepping out there for the first time.
He looked very excited. And the big thing is, Paul, he's in a white jersey, which means he's in a full-blown contact jersey. Max is full go. Usually they put him in a different color jersey, red jerseys. Don't touch me, I have an owie. He was all good, so right. We expect to see him on the first line tomorrow night.
So he is back as well, back inside the bubble, back on skates. Knights, Blackhawks again tomorrow night, and we got a lot of hockey talk coming your way throughout the program here. Also, we don't want to neglect the fact that the Eastern Conference also has 8 teams involved in the top seed. The Philadelphia Flyers will be taking on Montreal.
Montreal.
The Canadiens, which happens to be the only Canadian team left in the Eastern Conference. There
Correct.
Are only 2 left in the Western Conference. And boy, does it suck for Edmonton and Toronto to not have either team involved, as they are both the bubble host cities.
Well, I mean, you could just, play better and be better.
Play better.
Play better. Sometimes you got to get better and sometimes you got to get good. And so they have a lot of things to look at in both of those squads. But, yeah, they're going to be hosting a sleepover that they're not invited to any longer anymore.
Yeah.
It's awkward.
All right. Well, playoffs officially starting tomorrow afternoon.
Woo!
Number 2.
Okay, so we talked about the Mountain West Conference. We're just waiting for official word from that conference, which apparently the report suggests from multiple media sources that word will come down this afternoon. There are expectations as well that the Big Ten will make an announcement tomorrow, but the conference says it has not come to that decision yet.
Yeah, but we've kind of heard things that almost every single program voted to forego that fall season in the Big Ten, except for 2 programs. I believe that is Iowa and Nebraska, but no official word has been passed down. Technically,
Big Ten was the first ones to actually put out their own conference-only schedule.
That's
and
true.
There are additional reports. I hate reports. I hate sources, but it is what it is.
Mr. Anonymous is really getting after it.
Yeah, Anonymous. Yeah, it's just like
Mr. or Mrs.
It's just like
or Ms.
It's just like vacant. Vacant is one of the longest holding title holders in boxing and professional wrestling.
According to the Void, I think that's what we should call it from henceforth, because right. It's just a voice from the Void.
The Pac-12 also perhaps going to make a decision as early as tomorrow whether or not they will come down. And
Dominoes.
The Big Ten and the Pac-12 are kind of in lockstep just mm-hmm. based on the relationship with the Rose Bowl.
Facts.
That stuff started coming out this morning. We'll see college football hanging on a teetering edge when it comes to nationwide play.
They're running out of fingers, too.
Yeah, we'll see if Mountain West slides into the Big Ten, Pac-12 fold. But again, they have not called off the season yet. These are just...
Technically, no.
These are just reports. Not technically. They haven't done it.
Yes.
Technically, yes.
We haven't followed the directions from IKEA, so we cannot sit on this chair and expect to stay upright.
Have you seen, do you remember why... I put together a lot of IKEA furniture. The
okay.
IKEA furniture, when you open up the fold, whatever it is after you get past the weird name, you open the thing up, and literally the first, 4 directions are, okay... Make sure you've got your tools.
Yes.
Check everything in the box.
Correct.
And literally, then the next thing is some dude scratching his head with a question mark over it.
Yes.
And if you have that problem, you have to call.
And then they ask you, do you want to see me make this screwdriver disappear, much like in Batman? And that's where you take your face and that's what you do before you start putting together IKEA furniture. Chaffiel?
I have lots of IKEA furniture.
I do too.
Probably more than most mortals.
Most mortals?
Well, most mortals have
Zeus have a few...
I just don't have a lot of time on my hands.
Lazy Susan's up there?
I'm, quicker than Hiccup when it comes to building IKEA
stuff.
Well,
that's a great thing to know in about a month from now. Thank you for volunteering as tribute.
Moving on.
Number 3.
Listen, unless you're going to promise me half of your winnings for the rest of your life, Exactly. So there's a problem in Major League Baseball. We already knew there was going to be one because they're not in a bubble. But now, because, you know, the Miami Marlins are like, we got ourselves under control. The Cardinals said, hold our beer. The St. Louis Cardinals apparently are still getting more positive tests.
How?
They are literally scheduling doubleheaders upon doubleheaders upon doubleheaders.
I feel like we shouldn't be scheduling games again until, you know, we have control of our issue, which requires quite a few tissues because it is the Rona.
Okay, so to put this in perspective, the Dodgers are 11-5. Okay, yep. They played 16 games.
That's what we do, we win.
The Cardinals have played 5.
Are you for real?
5 games.
And
they are 2-3. They are 2-3.
That's 1 week difference, and we know how short the season is. How are they going to make this up? How? How are you going to make sure that everybody has the same players at their disposal? Because it's not like you can just tack it on at the end, say a bunch of teams that have had their rotation set. Like, what are they going to do?
Well, lots of options here right now. One could be they could just play fewer games. Just make them play fewer games. I mean, they don't have a choice. I mean, they just don't have a choice. They can't cram that many games. People are going to get hurt.
No, it's 6 a.m. baseball.
What's
going to
happen?
Can't.
So, the other thing is shut down the Cardinals. Just buy.
Go
just,
home.
Immediate forfeits, and that's just all it is.
You get to go home from the sleepover. You get picked up at midnight. That's the worst.
They could just shut down the season. Probably not going to happen, to be honest, based on the fact that everybody in the West has played a full quarter season.
They'll make somebody walk the plank before they will go down with the ship. That's for darn sure.
And the other one is just use their taxi squad because they have this essential, like, other team sitting in reserve that are also nice and clean and clear. And there are free agents out there that could still play.
Sure.
Yeah, Yasiel Puig's got to be healthy at this point,
but
right?
But if they're still testing positive and it's still popping up, then we can't even bring the taxi squad up because we don't know who's infected and who's not still. St. Louis Cardinals, go home. Stay at home. Don't interact with everyone. See you in a couple weeks. If you're not ready to go, you stay there for forever.
Right now, they will not have played games for 2 full weeks.
Do you think that would throw off the rhythm?
Probably.
Or the routine?
I don't know. We all came back from a four-month...
What about the integrity of baseball,
Paul? We came back from a four-month pause for basketball and hockey.
What about those pitching elbows?
A lot of guys have been getting hurt.
True that.
So that's a legitimate thing.
Very much so.
All right. Sticking with baseball. Moving on.
Number 4.
So they should have just played the Benny Hill theme at yesterday's, yeah.
I know who Benny Hill is, but continue.
Yakety Sax. The Baltimore Orioles and Washington Nationals had a rain delay yesterday where they had to get the tarp on the field.
Oh.
The Orioles were up 5-2, and the grounds crew basically had the ultimate fail where they could not roll the tarp out at all. Like, legitimately couldn't roll it out.
Been there. Not with tarps, but with a tent, a sleeping bag perhaps, maybe a blow-up mattress.
It was brutal. They pulled off the cover.
Yep.
And then they started pushing it out. And it's like when you get to like the end of, y'all know this at home, this is the best way to put it. So you got to warm up something in the microwave and you go to your Saran wrap. And you're starting to pull the Saran wrap off the thing.
You are so smart.
But you're trying to find the beginning of it.
This is why we have you.
And you can't get it. So then you decide to take a little knife and cut a little sliver into it. See if you can peel off the Saran wrap.
Knives with Saran wrap.
So as you cut that, you didn't cut it thin enough. So now you're pulling off 2 layers of Saran wrap, but you can't figure out still where you started.
So we get a chef's knife?
This is essentially what happened with the tarp at the baseball field. It's like they tried to unroll it, and it wouldn't unroll because they couldn't figure out where it started. So then they rolled it backwards, and they still couldn't figure out where it started. So then they twisted it and moved it into the outfield, thinking just by moving it 45 degrees at an angle that the tarp would continue to roll out. All they did...
Did it still rain? Did it continue to rain?
It still rained.
Wow. And it's... Mind you, all of this is being captured on camera, so I'm sure none of this will be reviewed.
So
none of it.
Well, I'm sure there'll be a couple of meetings with the Bobs sometime today.
With Mr. Man and Fred.
And Bob. They did get the tarp rolled out. It stopped raining.
2020 in a year.
That's it.
Oh my goodness, there's lottery balls involved. Look at all these chickens. But
that's it.
I'm sorry about the tarp. I'm glad that they got things figured out in time for them just to resume the game and they didn't have to roll it up. Did they just burn it at the end?
They probably should have at that point.
Yeah. Whoopsie. Right.
Last one.
Number 5.
All right. So the NBA has hoped and prayed that Zion Williamson and the New Orleans Pelicans would make it into the NBA playoffs.
Uh-huh.
Well, they made it to the bubble, but they will not be in the playoffs. You will not see extra Zion this year. His first season will not have a postseason. they lost yesterday to San Antonio. And then it was cemented when Portland knocked off Philadelphia.
Oh, Philly got knocked out too?
Well, Portland beat Philadelphia anyway.
So, like, Philly's out.
No,
of
Philly's still in.
Oh.
They're still in.
But Zion's out, which was... They were in the lower seed, and they said that a large part of the amount of teams that they brought into the bubble was to get make sure that you could get Zion, considering he had such a late start to the season.
Yep.
So, I mean, would it be nice to have him in the larger conversation going forward? Sure. But he's a rookie. He's going to be around here for years. Knock on wood, knock on wood, knock on wood. Knock on all the pieces of wood.
And so, he won't be there. Memphis, Portland, San Antonio, and Phoenix still in the running to all make it, but there will be no Zion Williamson.
How many games-ish do we have?
Two left.
Good to know.
This is the last week.
All right, right on.
This is the last week before they move into the playoffs. More than the playoffs. So there will be no Zion Williamson here, and they still have two games left. He's not going to play Tuesday. We'll see if he plays in his final game. Otherwise, Zion Williamson's rookie season is just done.
Yeah. It's a little disjointed, I'd say. Just a bit.
Just a shade.
Just a bit.
There's your check down. Your five biggest stories of the afternoon, powered by Radio.com Sports. Coming up next, the news. The Mountain West will be calling off fall sports, which includes that big chunk of college football. And we won't have to worry about if Sam Boyd Stadium has another year left in it. Because it ain't going to matter, apparently. Tony Cordasco, the dean of Las Vegas Sports, joins us next.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Paul Lindsay, Playmakers here on CBS Sports Radio 1140. Coming up at 3:35, James Munoz will be joining us from Abel Baker Brewing to talk to us about beer and explain to us why he thinks Dave and Mahoney are better drinkers than myself and Lindsay.
Lies. Nothing but lies.
We're going to ask him that.
We're out of practice, I have faith in our sea legs. I really do.
Yeah, they've got a virtual tasting coming up here this weekend.
Damn.
James will be able to talk to us about that. And then later in the program, Lindsay will do the live read.
Oh, goodness gracious. That is a real treat for all of us.
It will be for sure. Speaking of not treats, boy, we've just been laying out some of the ugliest news possible. Sources reporting here within the last hour that the Mountain West Conference, yes, the conference that the UNLV Rebels find themselves in, as well as the UNR Wolfpack and many other teams, including the Boise State whatevers, will be postponing. Listen, they come in here and they just roll over everyone.
They do that to everybody. That's why they are that's why they have the blue turf. They've earned it.
Stadium, The Athletic, and now ESPN all reporting the Mountain West will postpone the fall sports season. Apparently the announcement will come at some point this afternoon, but joining us to talk about it, the dean of Las Vegas Sports, sometimes guest host here on the Playmakers, Tony Cordasco. Tony, thanks for coming on, and what do you think this spells for the Mountain West if you see an actual spring football for the Mountain West? If that is indeed the course, will anybody care?
I will. I mean, I'm going to care about football, be it in the fall, in the spring, or what have you. You know, concern, obviously, is for the players. The players, will we see the college football players, not only in the Mountain West, but across the board, receive an extra year of eligibility? How do they handle that many scholarships? Is that going to even be manageable? And then, also, how many seniors, you know, now are going to opt out? I think those are the two big questions. And, you know, health and player concerns around COVID-19, putting an end to college football seasons in the fall. And I think, you know, I just got off the air doing an interview with Jackie Kostick from TV13. And, you know, one of the things that I think was the biggest issue and concern was liability, right? You know, the universities want to release liability. They want players to sign release forms. The players wanted an assurance that any COVID-related illnesses would be covered, all their medical expenses, up to 5 years after they left an institution. And, you know, they wanted their scholarships secure, put on hold if they opted out. It is just a very complex issue. And I think that that might have been the final, like, tipping point. And also, too, you know, when you look at conferences like the Mountain West, they don't have the money that a Power Five school does. They can't afford the high cost of testing, number one. Number two, you also have to wonder about the lag time in between the test and getting results. Because this isn't the NHL, this isn't the NFL, this isn't the NBA. It's college football, and it's not a Power Five like in Alabama. And so those were just some major concerns, I think, across the board.
Well, and Asko, I think the bigger concern, obviously, with the waivers and everything that they're signing, but it's about the COVID-related illnesses. And we've always thought about the virus as getting sick and you either kind of get over it or you don't, and the worst-case scenario. And that's obviously at the forefront of everybody's minds, but something that we haven't really taken super seriously as a society quite yet, and so it makes sense why this hasn't filtered down into the sports world, is the after-effects on your lung and on your lungs, and namely your heart. And you're seeing a lot of these, a lot of people in the recovery process from COVID-19 showing inflammation of their heart muscle, which is called myocarditis, which athletes have had and haven't been able to play with before. And so I think that's where the big concern is. It's not just about getting sick anymore. It's about getting sick. And then when you recover, if you recover, all of these other things that could not only derail your potential professional career, but your quality of life going forward. So the uniformity for me, Dasko, is really the tough thing. But do you think that the Mountain West is really the first big domino, at least in this decision that we're going to see follow through with the other conferences?
Well, you know, we're going to hear, I think, maybe by tomorrow about the Big Ten and the Big 12. And then, yeah, all the dominoes start to fall. Actually, you know, it was the Mid-American Conference that started everything off by announcing that they would, you know, become the first conference that would be canceling, you know, all of its fall sports. And then I think everyone else is starting to follow suit, Mountain West. And I guess, you know, you have obviously the threat of the COVID, of the virus, and you couple that now with, you know, college players wanting to unionize, and there's just a lot happening right now. And I think that it's too much, you know, for the student athletes. It's a lot for administration. The NC2A, they have to reset now. And, you know, what are they going to do, and how are they going to address, you know, a lot of the concerns obviously are legitimate concerns by the student athlete, because they just want to ensure that they're safe and healthy. But the schools, by the same token, I mean, yeah, there's going to be some effects of the illness that are going to last, and they want 5 years of schools paying their medical expenses for that. That's a lot. I mean, it's very costly. And at the end of the day, I think, you know, with the health concerns, the economics of the sport of college football and fall sports across the board in the NC2A, I just think that was too much. It was too much for them to take on. And I think they did the right thing, even though, you know, I'd love to see college football, love to see you guys out there. I don't want to see Boise State winning all the time every time they come to Vegas, you know, but I do want to see college football, and I would like to see it happen in the spring. And, you know, I feel so bad for the student athletes. I just feel horrible, because now they have to make major decisions, opting out, and then it needs to be settled. I'm sure that they have a ton of questions today. You know, I still want to stay here. I want to finish my degree. I want to play my senior year, let's say, of football. And what happens? What options will they be given? Will schools be able to carry? Now it's going to be over 105 or so scholarships if they carry over, you know, the entire team, and then they add the class of 21 to that. How are they going to divvy that up? How is that going to work? How is that going to be effective?
Lots of big questions for us. The Dean of Las Vegas Sports, Tony Cornesco, joining us here on the Playmakers. And while we're waiting for official word from the Mountain West Conference, in Hawaii, apparently about the same time this report was breaking, the University of Hawaii players were told the season is not happening. This coming direct from Hawaii News Now and one of the producers of the coaches show there. So as players are being told, and we're really just waiting for the conference's official word, you mentioned the players that were out there, and you mentioned seniors, and, you know, Lindsay and I have raved about him, and I know you have, Ground Chuck, Charles Williams, who comes in as a preseason, you know, award winner, a guy that everybody wants to watch, and now he's going to have to go back home, talk to his folks, and talk to coaches, and, you know, maybe even talk with you, Tony, about what his future is like, because he was going to be a premier kind of, you know, back in this new Coach Arroyo offense. He was a guy they were going to lean on. He definitely has the skills to play at the next level, and he's got a monster decision to make.
Yeah, he's got you know, it's a big decision for Charles. And they regarded him as one coming into the preseason as one of the top running backs in the nation. And I go back to last year when Charles asked me, you know, what are the school rushing numbers? What are the records? I want to break every record while I'm here. Well, that's, you know, that's disheartening. That's kind of crushing, you know, when you think of it in those terms. And then, you know, you just want him to be healthy. He's put on, you know, the coaches were telling me he's put on about 15 pounds of muscle in the offseason. And when the last time I spoke to Charles, I mean, he was on a new diet. He was just burning it up and running and felt fresh and felt, you know, injury free. And I mean, he's back now that's going to be durable enough, you know, to play the complete college season. I mean, he's a different player, he's a different man. And then you think about all of these other athletes that are going through now, if you're, you know, in your junior year, going to a senior, sophomore to junior. I mean, just they make such major strides in between, you know, in growth and strength and all those things in between, you know, each season on a new weight program, lifting, running, working out, getting stronger, more physical, making changes that the new coaching staff here, you know, wanted. And now what do they do? How do they harness all of that energy? It's really concerning. And I have to worry, too, about their mental state right now. I really do.
No, you're absolutely right, Dasko. It would be absolutely devastating. And we have to remember, because we talk about sports so much in a professional context, and I know that we have to remind ourselves a lot that these are non-professional people. We think about the safety nets that are in place for pro players, that through their players' unions, through the fact that they make money off of their labor and everything else. A lot of these college kids, they could go home. They might not have health insurance. They might not have, you know, a three-square meal a day. They might not have everything that's set up. You know, some kids do, but a lot of them don't. And so by putting them in the position to make this decision in the first place, like I know that a lot of players are back in camp and that, as Paul just said, they were just telling Hawaii that they're not playing anymore. Now you have all these kids that have been in here for a couple weeks taking all this risk for nothing. And again, the people who are supposed to be the adults in the room have disappointed a lot of the younger people. And it just, there's a lot of questions and not a lot of answers to go around. And that's obviously just really frustrating for us as a species.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, hey, they're college kids too, right? At the end of the day, we saw what happened at Rutgers. Up to, I think, 30 or so players on the team went to a party. They're still going to want to go out,
right?
They want to go out. They want to hang out. They want to be college kids. They want to enjoy that whole experience, you know. And that, I think, was, you know, another major concern there. And then, you know, you have to think about evaluations for these players who do want to play on the next level. And we know that scouts and, of course, front offices, coaches, they rely an awful lot on game film. They want to see how the players are playing in live games. Every college coach wants to see film on high school players. Pro teams want to see film against opponents, too. And so right now, I think we're looking at a real important time, too, because the NFL Combine is going to be the most important combine that we've ever seen coming up, you know, next winter, because that's when they're going to have an opportunity to see these kids, you know, perform live. Now, I don't know if the NC2A, should everything start to diminish or whatever, I don't know if we're going to see the equivalent, you know, spring ball, where they're going to allow, you know, schools to evaluate players in, say, November, December.
Tony, I'm going to step on you here real quick. It's now official. From the Mountain West, they've announced the indefinite postponement of all scheduled fall sports and Mountain West championship events.
At least they said postponement.
Also indefinite.
That's better. Yeah, that's better than cancellation, because then we still have a glimmer of hope, right, that they're going to play perhaps in the spring.
Yeah, it's,
and then college basketball's next.
Right, and that's moving down that road. It's the calendar continues to shrink as you move from one season to the next season.
Yeah, and with college basketball, we've been hearing rumblings of the Mountain West as one of the conferences that they do want to do something, you know, some sort of a bubble where they would have, you know, all the teams together, and then they could play a schedule and then play a tournament. College basketball tournaments could exist because my friends from BD Global, who do the MGM Resorts main event, they tweeted at me today, and they said that, you know, they have that tournament every year here. And they said, you know, that they're still moving forward with the safety of the players, the coaches, fans, et cetera, in mind. And you could do a bubble here in Las Vegas or with college basketball tournaments, quarantine the players for a few days. And then I think they could manage that better than with college football.
Well, they're going to have the same asks that the college football players are putting forth, too, in terms of that 5-year medical insurance coverage and everything else. That's not going away. And if the NCAA, like you said, Dasko, basketball is a much different thing. And that's something that's actually doable. But that means there are going to be some schools and some people fronting up some big-time money that they've never done in this context before. But if this is what they want, you got to take care of your people.
I want to hear from the players. We're hearing from conferences, and we're hearing from the NCAA, but we haven't heard anything from the players yet. And, I mean, they want to start the College Football Association. They want to unionize, you know, and try to continue with their movement. And I just feel down for them today. But I am gloating, by the way, Lindsay, because of my Rangers winning the draft lottery.
Oh, for sure. I know that just unfolded right before us as we were talking to you, Dasko. The draft lottery, which was going to the number one overall pick, Alexis Lafreniere, is going to be a New York Ranger next year, unless some real weird stuff happens at the draft.
Can he hold out like Eli Manning? Say, you know what? I don't want to play in New York. I want to play somewhere else.
This is the best day ever.
Oh, he can help Capo because he didn't help at number two overall last year, Dasko.
No, he didn't do much. He missed a lot of point blank shots too.
Happens.
The Dean of Las Vegas Sports, Tony Cordasco, coming on here with the Playmakers. Tony, appreciate the insight, man. You've always got your finger on the kids and the coaches and the schools in the Mountain West. We certainly appreciate the insight today.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. Tony, take care.
Hi,
and again, in case you just missed it during our conversation, it did come down as we were talking with Tony. It is official. Breaking news to you here, brought to you by Pennzoil. Motor oils made from natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil. The Mountain West Conference has postponed 2020 fall sports. This includes football, women's soccer, women's volleyball, men's and women's cross country. Last week, of course, Mountain West announced that men's and women's golf, men's and women's tennis, swimming, diving, indoor track and field, softball, baseball, all canceled. At this time, it says, according to the release from the conference, there are ongoing discussions about the status of winter sports.
It's just going to be one tough meeting after another until we get a better handle of this virus as a country here.
Well, the tough meeting here has happened in the Mountain West.
Mm-hmm.
In other conferences, they're going to play. Stadium reporting that the Sun Belt will play sports this fall. The Sun Belt Conference, that is Texas State University, Louisiana Lafayette,
mm-hmm.
a number of those schools there. So the Sun Belt's going to move forward, follow the SEC if the SEC still continues on its course and still play sports. So,
yep, we'll see. It's a weird time to be in the sports biz and to be an athlete. You can definitely say that.
But for us here in Las Vegas, for those of you who have season tickets, I'm sure you will be getting emails shortly about UNLV athletics and sports. And they have also put out their tweet. The university athletics director, Desiree Francois, has put out a statement as well. Saying the health and well-being of student-athletes, coaches, staff, and entire community supporting them is our top priority as it stands today. The conference determined a safe enough path forward for competition could not be found. While we understand and support the decision, it does not take away from the reality our hearts hurt for our student-athletes, for their families, coaches, staff, and all who love the Rebels. We look forward to working with colleagues and exploring fall sport competitions occurring later in the academic year. See, signaling maybe there's a spring for football and all the other sports.
Right. But it doesn't make any sense to say we're going to put this in the spring when every time we try to put something down, at least at this level, keeps getting pushed out.
And we don't have, Boy, feeling for all you kids out there right now.
Wear your masks, people. That's it. That's all we need.
Dennis Dodd of CBS reporting presidents could not get past the liability issue, and the league feels a lot better about testing processes next year. So we'll see what happens. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk some beer. James Manios joins us from Abel Baker Brewing. They have a virtual tasting that Lindsay is so excited about. She's going to repeat the name 8,000 times. That's next.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Do you like beer or do you like craft beer?
I like drinking.
Do you like to have beer with, some rubber ducks?
Yeah.
Where there's a great place to do it this weekend in a virtual fashion. It is Abel Baker Brewing's Ducking Felicious Virtual Tasting, hosted by our friends David Mahoney at X107.5. Craft beer pairings and Abel Baker Brewing's experts. This is Saturday from 4 to 6, and you can still pick up your tasting packages. And here to talk about what is all happening is the owner-operator of Abel Baker Brewing, James Manos. James, thanks for coming on, man.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
James, we love having you on because, you know, virtual beer is just about as delicious as actually holding on to a beer. But in this case, James, you can actually hold on to one of your delicious beers. And you guys are doing a featured beer four-pack for those who want to take part in this Saturday's virtual tasting.
Yeah, absolutely. So we wanted to put together something special. So, you know, in the craft beer community, hazy IPAs kind of rule the day. It's what all the craft beer people seek out, and it's a very, very popular style. So we did a couple interesting things with this four-pack that we have out. One is we included Chris Kale Impaledale, which is a beer we do in collaboration with Chris Kale, who's the bass player for Five Finger Death Punch. So that's kind of a cool radio tie-in right there when you want to talk about music. And then on the other beer side, we did a beer called Duck Duck Juice, which is going to be a new double hazy IPA that we're putting out. We're going to debut it with this four-pack. Only people who purchase the four-pack for the tasting on Saturday have early access to buy that beer. So if you buy a four-pack of the beer that we have out for the virtual tasting, you can get early access and start buying Duck Duck Juice now. And then we wanted to put out something fun we used to do when we were really small and just starting out, and we would go to beer festivals. We always had a secret beer, and we would pass out rubber ducks, and you would bring back a rubber duck and trade it in for the secret beer. So we wanted to bring that to our first virtual tasting event, so we brought back the secret beer. The only difference here is we're going to announce what it is a little bit early. So we're doing a special rendition of our Mexican-style lager, which is called El Pato Loco. So we're doing a summer citrus edition. So we're doing a really easy-drinking 4.5% ABV Vienna-style lager infused with lime peel, orange peel, and yuzu. So really light, really crisp, super citrusy, good for the weather in Vegas right now. And those are two beers that we're debuting as a part of this four-pack to provide something unique and different for the consumers who are going to pick it up and join us for the virtual tasting.
James, you have so many different options and plenty of punny labels on each one of these beers. And as someone who really, really takes a kind to that type of branding and stuff, I think I'm not a huge beer person, but if I had to pick one that you guys are offering in this four pack, it's definitely the Excited State Unfiltered. Can you tell me a little bit more about that drink and how it's pretty much the exact encapsulation of my personality?
Yeah. So what we do, in case you haven't figured it out, two things that we do is the brewery's called Abel Baker because we actually named ourselves after the first two atomic bombs dropped at the Nevada test site. So back in the day, the military phonetic alphabet at the time was Abel Baker. Now it's Alpha Bravo. But back then it was Abel Baker. So that's where the name comes from. So a little side note to that is when they did a lot of that atomic testing back in the day, going to turn a bad story good, so don't anyone get offended, they used to test on animals. So in the course of that animal testing over the entire history, like 16 years, only one animal ever survived the test, and it was a duck. So we took that duck, we put an atomic symbol behind it, we call it the atomic duck, and we use it as our brand ambassador and mascot. He's a symbol of perseverance and good fortune. So that's why all the punny duck names. So with Excited State, what we did is we go back to kind of our atomic testing. So Excited State's what happens to atoms when they jump to an excited state, when they get agitated. And so we wanted something unique and cool to do with our Pilsner that we were going to have out all the time. Leaving it unfiltered leaves more flavor, adds better taste. The word state in there really ties it to Nevada. The color of the can and the logo is Nevada blue and silver, obviously, and we incorporate the Nevada state outline into the logo as well. So it's just another way, like, we're very proud to be from Nevada. Part of the reason we named the brewery Abel Baker, and part of the reason we try to incorporate Nevada-themed elements into a lot of the stuff that we do, is when we first started, we thought a lot of people weren't proud to be from Nevada as far as, you know, doing beverages, and we really wanted to own it and let people know we were from here. And we make an effort to do that at every turn possible. And then the duck stuff just kind of took on a life of its own. I got to tell you, I had no idea there was a rubber duck subculture, or that people
right.
who owned ducks as pets were crazy passionate about it. So we have people fly in from Europe that'll come in and won't even drink beer. They just come into the brewery and they want to collect rubber ducks or tell us about the fact that they own six rubber ducks who wear diapers at their house. So the duck subculture thing is just, it was a surprise, but it's really, really cool.
Yeah, it's a little out there for sure. James.
Makes sense.
James Manos is the owner-operator of Abel Baker Brewing. They are having a Ducking Felicious virtual beer experience this weekend, Saturday, August the 15th, 4 to 6. Purchase your beer through the Abel Baker Facebook page. That is abelbaker.brewing, facebook.com, abelbaker.brewing. Also through their .com, abelbakerbrewing.com. Two tasting packages. One is the mixed four-pack we've been talking about, $20. There's also a VIP virtual tasting package
Ooh.
From X107.5. You get the four-pack of brews we talked about, an Abel Baker glass, charcuterie plate, three stickers, and, of course, the rubber duck culture. That is Abel Baker Brewing. I mean, it's pretty cool. And, you know, for those who want to take part in virtual beer experiences, this is one that's, you know, you talk about being, you know, Nevada proud and having some pride about having a brew from Abel Baker. I think, James, you would agree this is going to be the easiest way to do it. And especially when it's nice and hot, you're offering some patio beers and some other hoppy stuff, and you've got something for everyone here.
Yeah, and what we really wanted to do, too, is, you know, we want to acknowledge the fact that times are changing. You know, everyone's having to react to what's going on with the COVID situation and staying socially distanced. You know, at Abel Baker, we use our social distancing guidelines. So, I wrote an article a while back that got published in California, Nevada, about how this was going to affect the craft beer community. And one of the things I specifically mentioned was that I thought you were going to see the rise of the virtual brewery tour and the rise of the virtual beer experience. And I think you're going to see that. So when X107.5 presented us with the opportunity to do a virtual tasting, and it kind of fell right into what we wanted to do. You know, we're keeping people safe. We're allowing you to enjoy the beer at home if you're comfortable there. You can also purchase the four-pack. Actually, we'll pop it for you at the brewery if you want to be on-site. And then you can just log on via your phone or laptop right there through our wireless and do it on-site if you'd like. If you prefer to stay at home and eat a great charcuterie and enjoy a beer pairing, you can do that as well. So we kind of thought it was the best of both worlds. And kudos to you guys and your partnerships for allowing us to do it. I don't think this is something that's going to stop. I think you're going to see more of it. I think consumers are asking for it. I think people really enjoy it. It's just a matter of doing something great. It gives us the opportunity to really give people a live experience. And instead of just giving them a tasting card, you know, we're going to let you talk to the brewer. We're going to let you talk to the owner. We're going to let you experience it in real time with us. And I think that's something where we can turn a negative into a positive and get great benefit from this and have a really cool event.
Absolutely. James, it's going to be cool this Saturday, 4 to 6, abelbakerbrewing.com. Get some more information there. Thanks for hanging out with us today, James, and good luck with this. And just to let you know, Dave and Mahoney might be, you know, more beer-ish than we are, but we're a lot funnier.
Oh, we have the legs. We have the legs to go the distance.
It's all good. I love it. And since nobody else said Ducking Felicious during the show, I'll do it. I know you got a 3-second delay in case I mess it up. So I appreciate that. But it's fun to get that in there, too. We wanted to have some fun with the name and the brand for it. So hopefully everybody will come out with us on Saturday and purchase it and have some fun. And it's going to be a fun event. We're all about enjoying the beers and in a relaxing and fun atmosphere. So come join us and let's do it together.
All right. Fantastic. Hey, James, thanks for hanging out, man.
Absolutely. My pleasure. I appreciate y'all.
James Manos from Abel Baker Brewing. Check him out. 1510 South Main in Las Vegas in the Arts District, real close by there. And again, mm-hmm. It's the virtual beer experience, but you can go down there and partake and just pull out your smartphone. 4 to 6 o'clock on Saturday, Ducking Felicious, Abel Baker Brewing. Go to abelbakerbrewing.com. Virtual tasting package is $20. The VIP package is $38, and you manage to get a duck at the same time. Coming up next, what were you doing when you were 23?
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Paul and Lindsay on this Monday afternoon. Don't forget, for you Golden Knights fans and hockey fans, lots of it coming your way. We're going to be chatting about it here in the next 12 minutes. A little first-round hockey action, plus a little more focus on your Vegas Golden Knights coming up at 5:02 tonight with the Nightcap. Lindsay hosts that bad boy.
Yeah. It's a heck of a show, Paul, and you're going to be joining me as well because we are a tag team of hockey greatness, and there's so much to unpack.
Yeah, we're I wouldn't say we're the first line, but we're...
Oh, we're first line.
Are we?
Oh, we are the starting sheet.
So we're 1A, 1B.
When coach puts the lineup card in the locker room the morning of or the day before the game to let everybody know who's starting where, we're in the first part.
I understand. We want to say congratulations to a Las Vegas local, Colin Morikawa. Colin finished at 13 under par yesterday, taking the PGA Championship.
Casually.
And did what most 23-year-olds do when they hold up the trophy, the lid pops off.
For real? Fell off? Did it hit him?
No, it didn't. It just fell over. It was amusing, but it was like, I don't think he realized that the cup wasn't, you know, it, you know,
the
you
cup put, actually
like,
holds
you literally
things?
Could put like ice in it and put, you know, some
was it an
champagne
orifice?
In it.
Is that what that word is? The orifice? When something can, you can fill something in something? I don't know.
It's just a cup.
Yeah.
So it's, just an empty, cup.
Yeah. You know, just let me have my words with friends over here. Okay.
He held up the trophy and Colin Morikawa, who is 23 years old, joins just three other players.
Mm.
Who won their first PGA at the age of 23.
So who are those players, Paul?
Pretty significant names. The Golden Bear, Jack Nicklaus.
He's pretty good.
Rory McIlroy.
Decent.
And who seems to be ageless, but is slowing down as he gets older, like we all do.
Mm.
One Mr. Tiger Woods.
Oh, yeah. He plays golf, doesn't he?
So, Colin Morikawa, who basically just kind of charged right on through it.
Bogey-free in the final 22 holes, Paul. I mean, that's pretty much flawless golf as you can get.
Yeah, chipped in on 14, too.
Yeah.
And then
64.
Well, he dropped in an eagle on 16.
How many eagles have you had in your life?
About a handful, like legit handful.
Same, but I remember, what is it, probably two summers ago, first round of the year. Granted, it's not all year round in Minnesota like it is down here. Eagle,
right.
Eagle on one. It was a hell of a way to start the season. I didn't end it that way. I'll let you know.
Not how I roll. I can't roll that way. I don't start, like, I start with pars. I don't think I've ever opened up with the circle. To be honest,
I'm sure you've opened up with way more than a par as we've had breakfast balls.
I've had more than my share of squares on one.
Snowman?
No, I don't think I've ever snowman won, even with a par five to lead things off.
What if
even with
OB
breakfast
on
balls?
The left.
No, still no, because I have a natural slice, so I don't worry about OBs. I never worry about a left OB. Trust me.
Well, good for Colin, though. And like you said, he's 23 years old. I mean, we're kind of in this mode with golf where if you don't win more than like three, we're like, you haven't done anything. But that's actually like how golf is supposed to be. It's supposed to be one offs. And hopefully he's able to build on this. But, you know, what a cool win to get. And obviously it was a full field. So it's not like he's beating scrubs.
Right. It was not a fluky championship by any means, other than the fact that it was played in, you know, August and led off all the majors middle part.
There's not everybody watching you and oohing and aahing at every shot that you're hitting, or more likely every shot that Tiger or someone else more famous of you is hitting that you have to deal with. But congrats to him. I'm sure there's a few more around the corner, but I'll have to be honest. I didn't watch a lot of golf this weekend.
And he's won two since we've restarted golf. So, I mean, like,
so he's vibing.
Well, I think, you know, for a guy who's looking for momentum and for a game that's looking for a story that's not Bryson DeChambeau being a total jerk.
I think it probably favors him, too, or at least the younger players, because, you know, you're coming right off from college golf, which I'm guessing does not attract the same crowds as most PGA Tour events, let alone majors. So maybe the non-crowd factor actually works more in the favor.
Well, he was dialed in completely.
Golf. There's it's a weird game.
He was completely dialed in and played incredible golf the entire way, and just happened to play just slightly better golf right at the end because of just who. I mean, you look at who was on the leaderboard going into pretty much like the final four or five holes.
Koepka was talking S before the round, wasn't he?
Yes. It's all legit. These are all legitimate names.
Yeah.
With Jason Day and Tony Finau, DeChambeau is in it, Dustin Johnson. I mean, all legitimate, you know, ballers and golfers who were all there right at the top.
It only takes one moment for you to completely change your life and trajectory.
Tiger can't putt to save life, though.
Sure he'll get it together,
he's
working. I mean,
he needs more consistency. I think he needs to play more events, to be honest. He needs
probably,
to stop picking and choosing.
Probably. You're probably right, but I'm guessing that's probably not going to come this year. Golden Bear must be chased, but I don't think 2020 is the time to, you know, leave this not so cozy bed.
So congrats to Colin, Las Vegas' own.
Woo!
Maybe they'll name a street after him.
Maybe.
Come hang out anytime, Colin. The door is wide open. Wide open.
Two
hockey.
Miles.
Hockey talk coming up next.
Inside information on your teams. Honest opinion. and the biggest names in sports. It's time, Las Vegas, for the Playmakers.
Hour number two of the Playmakers. Paul Weihander here, along with Lindsey Brown.
Hello. Are you good? Are we good?
Lots coming down the pike here.
God, there is there ever.
At 5 o'clock, we do have the nightcap coming your way, talking a lot more Vegas Golden Knights, really hardcore Vegas Golden Knights.
Oh, yeah.
Right, leading you up to 5:30, we have Dodgers back on the diamond taking on San Diego. They really have no nights off for quite a while here. I think they have, like, maybe one day the rest of the month here.
Greatness doesn't sleep, Paul. It's an everyday decision.
So they're 16 games into the season of the 60, and they are 11-5 right near the top of the National League West. And with the expanded playoffs right now, it seems like the postseason is guaranteed, but still lots more marathon-y, sprinty baseball to be played, so we'll keep you up to date on how that goes, but the investment into Mookie Betts seems to be a very good one.
Yeah.
Also breaking right before the show began and during the show, officially, the Mountain West has postponed fall sports. All fall sports. Everything on the schedule.
Including football.
Including football. Players were told about an hour and a half ago. The notification came official from the conference about 30 minutes ago. So there will be no football this fall. It is an indefinite postponement, which means they could just shuffle everything into the spring. But it creates some challenges, obviously. And a lot of the big questions, you know, beyond the health and beyond just television schedules, because we know what we're running into right now is that with the bubbles of the NBA and the NHL, along with baseball back, mm-hmm. and we have NASCAR and golf. There's not enough, amazingly enough, there's not enough channels to put everything on in terms of traditional sports channels.
There's too many sports.
So as you push into the spring, and assuming that we'll have a kind of a pseudo-regular NHL season and a pseudo-regular NBA season.
We're not thinking that far ahead, at least
perhaps
we're not.
And perhaps we have spring training, and perhaps we have college football that, again, we'll be just running out of places to put things, along with Premier League soccer, which will come back.
Oh, it's on at 6 a.m., so it's fine. I'm just being honest. Nothing against Premier League soccer. In London.
NHL's on at 9 now.
No, it's not. We're in regular playoffs now. We don't have the
noon,
full slate of games.
Right, they start at noon now. But NBA started at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, we all rushed to that one, didn't we? I've watched, like, collective maybe 10 seconds of basketball in the last since hockey started.
Yeah, but are you an
this
NBA
is all
person,
I breathe.
No, I mean, legitimately, of the big four sports, where do you line up
where
in terms of what you watch?
Paul.
Okay, beyond NHL,
okay.
Where do the other three fall in line for you?
Probably goes football and then basketball and baseball,
right,
probably a tie.
So you're saying that you're kind of like, those are summer distractions at this point.
Yes, and it's not that I don't pay attention to them. I just don't spend time watching the games until it gets really into the conference finals for basketball. You can still keep up with things. Believe it or not, the people that work in the sports industry, we do not watch all of these games. It's literally physically impossible.
You try, though.
Some of us are just really good at retaining information and spitting things back out, and some people fake it.
That's true. That does
happen.
And some
people try to fake it and fail.
I do watch a lot of sports now.
I know, but that's the thing.
It's weird how much sports I watch.
As long as you're just upfront and honest about it, I don't see what the problem is, because we are not omniscient. We are human beings.
I didn't say that.
You have a family.
I didn't say there was a problem.
I know. I'm just agitated today. I'm like those Adams they were talking about in the Abel Baker Brewing thing that they're having on Saturday. Those super excited Adams. It's part of that 4-pack beer thing.
You mean the Ducking Felicious virtual beer experience?
Indeed.
Guests can purchase their beer packages through abelbakerbrewing.com. You can pick up your drinks closer to the event. That is this Saturday, 4 to 6. $20 for the virtual tasting package. If you want to go VIP, $38. Abelbakerbrewing.com.
And that, my friends, is professionalism. Take it in. Breathe it. And exhale.
The NHL first round is finally getting underway. There is no more round
tomorrow.
There's no more round robin. There is no more play-in. We have 16 teams that are going to be in place. We'll start in the Western Conference first.
With the number one seed?
With the Vegas Golden Knights, we'll take on the Chicago Blackhawks. That is tomorrow night. You actually get to have a night game, so you get to work tomorrow and then go home and crack a Abel Baker Brewing beer open and sit in front of your TV and watch some hockey with the Blackhawks, who surprised everybody by knocking off Edmonton.
Yeah, and really did a good job of bottling up Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, which are obviously two very formidable names in this game, but the Oilers are going to oil, and they're pretty much empty in the cupboards the rest of the way. But the Chicago Blackhawks, as much as everyone overlooked them in that first round and has a tendency to in terms of what their regular season was like, they still got, you know, the main pieces of that Stanley Cup winning, and I mean three Stanley Cups winning leadership core, and it seems like they have just enough of youth and talent and now belief in themselves that they're becoming a problem, and you can't overlook that, and henceforth, all of these games count.
Now, you were on our sister station, The Score, in Chicago this morning talking with them. How is the feeling in Chicago about this team? I mean, do they feel like they surprised everybody, or is there some real optimism going up against the Golden Knights that they are essentially the hot hand right now?
Oh, I think there's a lot of surprise, and that's where a lot of the conversation lay, because they're just happy to be back in the playoffs in general, because they haven't been back there since 2017. And this is now head coach Jeremy Colliton's first crack at the playoffs, because last time there, Joel Quenneville was still behind that bench and who led them to three cups. But in terms of, I'm sure when you win three Stanley Cups and you go through as many long playoff runs as they did, because they made a couple of Western Conference Finals trips when those Kings were in those winning those cups as well, that you pretty much know what you have on your hands and know what your team is. And the thing is about the Blackhawks is that they know that they're playing with house money, and so does the fan base. And so when you're doing that, it's just kind of like, who knows what's going to happen? Something good, something already good did happen, so let's just ride this. But they're not dealing with any sort of pressure whatsoever. In terms of the team and how much we've talked about the Golden Knights and what's expected of them, and now especially that they've secured the number one overall seed, they're now the big upset alert team, at least on the Western Conference side. So you need to make sure you're taking care of every shift, and that's what they've been doing in each and every single one of their games leading up to this. So I think they're in pretty damn good shape.
A team that was in your lockstep with Vegas right up until the bitter end there was the Colorado Avalanche, which,
yeah,
you know, you're talking about an overtime victory. You know, why not? Free hockey. Taking on yet another surprising team, the Arizona Coyotes, who found themselves really rejuvenated in that play-in system. Again, a team that probably wasn't ready for prime time, but finds themselves, again, you know, they rolled through Nashville. Nashville just kind of rolled over for them.
And let's remember, their GM left their team just literally a day before they went up to Edmonton.
Either not a distraction or something to, like, this is the chip on our shoulder.
Exactly. And that's what I said a couple weeks ago. I'm like, I actually have faith in the Arizona Coyotes with that sense, because teams that have stuff like that happen to them, it really brings them together. Sometimes it happens with team injuries, unfortunately, but just weird stuff like that happens sometimes, and it just brings you together and it brings you towards the common goal and really isolates your locker room. And that's what you have to do at this point, especially in the environment that you're in, where everybody's staying in the same spot, and you could be, you know, literally punching guy's face in 1 minute, and then like 30 minutes later, see him at line at Tim Hortons at the truck outside. Hey, bud, your nose okay?
How special is Nathan MacKinnon?
Oh, my God.
I'm like, literally, watching him play against the Knights, he makes it look incredibly effortless.
And the thing is, what separates Nathan MacKinnon from a lot is not the skill, because he is unbelievably skilled. But that's the, everybody is really good. There's no, like, just kind of fluffers out there. Like Ryan Reeves, we always talk about how good he is at skating. You can't really have these big-time fighters that can't do much anymore on the ice. Like, everybody has to be, you know, playable and hold their defensive prowess when they're out there on the ice. But the thing about Nathan MacKinnon is that he's incredibly skilled, and then his utilization of his body and his understanding of his skating stride and his use of his edges is really what sets him apart. We talk about that with Connor McDavid all the time. He is a bigger version of Connor McDavid, so he uses his body and his physical play much more to impose his will on his opposition, whereas Connor's just like, let me just use these magic tricks that don't make sense in physics. McKinnon's just be like, oh, you want to hit me? Try. You're going to bounce off. I'm going to cut to the net and then go bar down on you on my offhand. Try again. That's what Nathan MacKinnon does. But they beat him at their own game 3-2, and it wasn't a huge scoring game. So it was good to see the Golden Knights kind of shut things down and play a more collective 60 minutes against the most formidable team in the West, at least in my opinion, besides, you know, the one in their own locker room.
Paul and Lizzie here on the Playmakers on this Monday afternoon, talking a little bit about the first round that begins tomorrow, roughly less than 24 hours away, with the early game starting at noon. I'm concerned about the 3-6 matchup in the Western Conference, where I think the Dallas Stars, everyone is picking Calgary in this one. I'm a little concerned about that pick. I think people are underestimating. While Dallas struggled, they struggled because, let's be honest, my favorite goalie, Ben Bishop, was not playing in a couple of those games, so they struggled. But Calgary came full force and said, we're just going to give it the best effort we can. And what do? They put up literally the most goals in the qualifiers outside of Chicago.
Right.
So you know the offense is clicking right now for
and
them.
And granted, the Jets...
But I don't want to pick the Flames. I really don't want to pick the Flames.
But they scored a lot of goals against the Jets after having Mark Scheifele out, which is not just their captain, one of their biggest offensive contributors, but one of their biggest defensive pieces as well. And then Patrick Laine. Yeah, you're going to score a lot of goals. And I think that most of the pick 'em, whenever you're talking about the initial matchup, when you have a more defensively responsible team versus an offensive... You're relying more on like who has a better chance to get momentum started earlier. Because if you look at it, it's probably the Calgary Flames and Matthew Tkachuk. Even though he's annoying and for a lot of people, he's a dirty player. He's awful. He plays hockey in a hard style. And sometimes he gets a little bit outside of himself. But for the most part, he's just playing hockey hard. And so we've talked about how important it is for teams to find their identity and to really dictate pace early on in games, at least early on in periods. And I think that the Flames are a little bit more apt to do so. But just like every round and just like every game, it's a full clean slate. And the Stars weren't playing any games that truly mattered. So we don't really know what they're going to be bringing. These first couple games for all these years are going to be very much a feeling out process for both teams. Because some teams have been playing at a certain level for the last week. And some of them have been playing close. But you just got to get that extra 1% or 2%.
Blues and Canucks, the final matchup, the 4 and the 5, which by seeding, they're supposed to be relatively equal. I'm not sure I see it.
Yeah. But also, it really depends because as much as Jordan Binnington has been on fire ever since he took over that job last year with their run to the Stanley Cup and even through the playoffs and the Knights game where I thought he played really well, they are not playing well as a team. They aren't. And
no,
that's what Craig Berube said, their head coach, after they got beat by the Golden Knights. And until they find a way to make sure that they're not giving up three goals or more every game, you can't do that in the playoffs. That wasn't their MO last year, and they need to get back to it. But as I said, round robin games, a lot of those teams like the Boston Bruins who also went 0-4 and are in the bottom seed. Well, these are just preseason games. They don't matter. And anyways, I'm sure you would have said the same thing if you found yourself on the top. I'm sure
well,
Brad Marchand.
And Vancouver's a young team, and I follow the Canucks.
And the belief thing.
I follow the Canucks for mm-hmm. many years, and Hughes and Pettersson are legit players who are 20. They don't know any better.
Quinn Hughes is the next Erik Karlsson in this
right.
league.
Right. So, Markstrom in goal.
He's playing nasty.
Right. So, this is one of those weird situations where you've got a team that's hot and a team that's incredibly cold. And, in terms of upset, it's only an upset because it is the Stanley Cup champions.
What happened to Washington last year?
Exactly. You could see Vancouver overtake St. Louis. Of those four matchups here in the Western Conference that we've been, dissecting and discussing that all get underway tomorrow in the bubble in Edmonton, mm-hmm. do you see any sweeps? I mean, you talked about the first games being feel out games for these teams, but it is a 7-game series. Is there a possibility of any of these going 4-0?
I would be really, really surprised if this was the first round where we were entering qualifiers, maybe. But now that everybody's had some time in the bubble and has acclimated, I think all of these series are just going to be game to game, shift to shift. And I hate saying that, but honestly, based off of what we've seen through these first few rounds and how you just don't know what team is going to show up or how they're going to react to the momentum swings, it really is a pick 'em, and I just don't see any team fully taking full speed, and that's including the Golden Knights with the number 1 overall seed. Like I said, Chicago is not a pushover. Nobody's a pushover. All the teams that you're facing had to win to get in. You did it. You did all your winning 5 months ago. That was 5 months ago, though. So I don't predict any sweeps, but I've seen crazier things in hockey.
Sure. Well, and in terms of disrespect, and this might actually be one of the better played. I mean, this could be the best series of all four, to be honest, is the Colorado-Arizona. And none of them are in prime time. None of the games have been scheduled for prime time. You're literally going to have to set a clock outside. Am I watching Days of Our Lives or am I watching hockey? I mean, that's what it is. I mean, these are games. I mean, the second game on Friday is at 11 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, they're not going to showcase these teams. You're not going to get a real good look at unless you actually go out of your way to go see them.
Right. Well, Arizona better pack all of their goalie pads and all of their mental fortitude because they're going to need it with the onslaught of offense that you're going to get. And that's how I look at these matchups. Like, how are these goalies going? How are they feeling? How are they vibing? Like if you look at the Montreal-Philadelphia series, just from that alone, Carter Hart versus Montreal, what a great treat for people like me who are former goaltenders who really love that position. There's just so many different storylines this year that really make every single one of these matchups just kind of a different game and different series every day in a way, because it's just a weird time.
Opposite side of the ledger, Eastern Conference, Philadelphia taking on Montreal. The Lightning are back. They were taking on Columbus.
I wouldn't want to face Columbus now either.
Yeah, they're playing some pretty good hockey, dispatching Toronto. And
Corpusalo blanked them last night, literally shut them out.
Yeah, and you're talking about teams, the NHL comes into this. It's interesting now that we've advance ourselves into the Stanley Cup playoffs because, again, we do have some marquee players, but the guys that everybody's talking about, they're going to be watching on their couches.
The ones we're used to seeing.
Right, the Austin Matthews, the Draisaitl. You know,
well, not so much used to seeing them, but yeah.
But the star players that the NHL has tried to build a little bit more core around, so to speak, there is no Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah. No Crosby. No Malkin.
Right.
Right. A lot of the end of season awards types of players are sitting on their couch. But that just shows you that you could have a superstar or two on your team that doesn't equate to jack squat. Like, just look at how many years it took for the Capitals to win when they had Ovechkin and Backstrom. They won how many President's Trophies and getting bounced in the second round by the Penguins. Like, it seemed like every year until they didn't. And that's the thing. Everybody in any other year, you know, there are two different seasons between the playoff season and the regular season, but especially with this one, you just don't know what you're operating with. You're dealing with kids, like 21, 22-year-old kids, that this is their first action. They're just vibing. They're feeling it. Usually they'd be delegated and physically checked out of things, but they're just, because everything's weird, like, this is a true shakeup for all sports, but especially for the NHL, because if one of these teams that, like, what if the Carolina Hurricanes win the Stanley Cup? They have just as good of a shot, if not, you know, they're a good team. And the Bruins are sucking right now. So it could get even more of a filtered down. But that's why, you know, teams like your Vegas Golden Knights that are built for deep lines, that has depth at every position, those ones are in for the long haul.
Lots more hockey talk coming your way. The Nightcap starts at 5:02. Up next, is there such a thing as life outside of the bubble? Some people are actually going to try.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
CBS Sports Radio and Radio.com welcome a new podcast, The Boardroom, out of office with host Rich Kleiman. The podcast will cover the business of sports with many special guests who will discuss their career trajectories and the ins and outs of the stories they've gathered along the way. Special episodes will be dedicated to teams, athletes, and moments in sport history that have maintained the most cultural significance and helped move the business forward. The podcast is available this Wednesday, August the 12th at Radio.com. Yeah, more stuff to listen to. You can just jam it into your head.
There's so much learning opportunities up in here that we have on that radio.com app.
Yeah, there's podcasts. I'm on podcasts. I'm on podcasts.
Including the Nightcap, which is live tonight at 5.
It is indeed.
Live at 5!
Plenty of Vegas Golden Knights talk, including the speculation Max Pacioretty would not have joined the team today if he had not caught in the plane. He did catch the plane.
He's there.
And did make it into the bubble in Edmonton. Mm-hmm. I wonder how that works. Is there like a big gate? Like they did with the Berlin Wall, where there's like some big, show us your papers.
Maybe there's a few scans, a few guys. Maybe he walks in with a full team, everybody's surrounding him and masked, obviously. Socially distanced surrounding.
Empty your pockets.
Yeah,
he has to walk back.
You are the nucleus of the cell. The mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell.
And then they spray him with that stuff they did at Denver Broncos camp.
Yes.
Like they walk through like
definitely look like there's a lot of sanitation going on there.
You know, yep. We have those throughout Las Vegas. They're called misters.
Yeah. I feel super clean. That's why everybody stands under them for minutes at a time.
Yeah, misters are just another way of not taking a shower.
Just go in the shade or, you know, go inside if you're too hot.
So as we talk about Max going into the bubble, there are a lot of people, a lot of teams that are getting ready to come out of the bubble. I'm not sure I agree with it just based on the fact that they already have a track record, and I'm not quite sure what they're doing. Major League Soccer is restarting in 2 days in home cities after playing for several weeks, like an entire month in Orlando inside the bubble, where prior to the bubble, they were sending guys home. They, you know, sent teams home. And now that they've finished playing in the, quote, MLS is back, they're now back in their home cities and playing soccer, where over the weekend, the Las Vegas Lights were supposed to play a game here, but a positive test forced them to postpone.
This is why when you hit that really big, you know, you've split eights three times and had to double down a couple hands, go to the cashier, cash out your chips so you know what kind of cash you have in your hands before you go back out there. And maybe it's fine. And they were mostly successful, but it seems a little quick. It seems a little quick. Don't you think?
They pulled Nashville and Dallas out of the tournament because of positive tests.
It was such a resounding success, but not really.
They pulled them out. They didn't even play. Now they're going to play their finale tomorrow night, the tournament. It's Orlando City and Portland. And then they're all going to go back the next day and go play back in home cities. I don't get it. If it works, If it's working...
Why can't we just be happy with what we have? Why do we think we're above biology, Paul? Why do we think that things don't apply to us? Or that if we won yesterday, that today is going to be an automatic win as well? I don't get that. I get it. Like, you got back and you got to play some games. And that's great. You got to recoup some of that salary and you got something in there. But why keep risking? Like, let's just be done. We've seen how things can get gnarly. And as you spend more time in that environment, you get comfortable with it.
They're still going to play 18 more games. I mean, I guess, I don't know, maybe the hotels were too much in Orlando or something. I mean, but you have, it works. You have it working. I mean, yeah. It legitimately works.
Why wouldn't
works.
You keep doing the bubble? Why wouldn't you wait a few more months, get a better bubble so everybody can go?
It's just...
Because you're opening up for more risk to disrupt the next season and stuff. That's why I'm like, okay, well, maybe you want to keep recouping. But, like, there's more risk. And I know we talk about that all the time, but it's just... I don't know. I just feel like people are like, yeah, we won this yesterday, so that means automatically today this is going to be successful. And they're not even using the same plan. Come on!
The by any means necessary is I think the philosophy needs to disappear just a little bit. Because if it's not broken, I mean,
correct.
No one is raising the backboard or the rim up to 10.6 feet mm-hmm. because they think there's some sort of magical competitive advantage that'll disappear for the really tall players in the NBA.
Right. Gotta make sure it's equal.
You know, we're changing the rules to adapt to what we're dealing with in 2020. I get that. In baseball, runner on second base, some of your purists don't care for it. Some of the players don't care for it. I think it's actually kind of cool.
I think it helps.
It actually puts some strategy into the game. Like,
yes.
Actual real strategy. Should
we're
we walk
scared
everybody?
Of stuff
Should
before
we,
we actually implement it, too, where I was like, we can't do that. That's going to mess up everything. And then it ends up being great. I feel like that happens in sports all the time, unless it's football and pass interference related. Otherwise, all of these other ideas that we've all been talking about for forever, they're probably really good ideas because we've been ripping them apart for how long. But yeah, I don't get why we have to just constantly gamble with this stuff. This isn't the time to gamble. This isn't the time. You're not going to get the full experience. So why do it unless you absolutely have to?
So here's the absolutely have to.
Okay.
So here in Nevada, it was announced a couple weeks ago. We brought it to you that the Nevada preps, all the high schools, were going to push all their seasons into a truncated kind of three-season schedule to start the next year. So winter would start in 6 weeks, then the fall season would play for 6 weeks, and then spring would play.
Mm-hmm.
We're not playing any sports here in Nevada through the end of 2020 right now, unless it's professional, and that's still a big question mark. We can't even get that off the ground.
Right.
The Knights are in Canada. There's a training camp underway that requires testing to get into down in Henderson. And the USL soccer team is yet to play here mm-hmm. locally. Now they want to, and hey, great. If you can pull it off, fantastic.
Sure.
If you can do it safely, fantastic. I'm all for it. I would love to see a NASCAR race out here at Las Vegas Motor Speedway here at the end of September.
It's hard to keep up with all this whiplash of like, are we okay with this of having sports? Or are we not okay? Where are we this minute?
But with high school sports, Utah, they're going to play. Mm-hmm. They're going to play sports in Utah.
And that's close to here.
They're going to play sports in Arizona. They're not going to play in California. They're pushing a lot of those out. Now, there's some arguments that in rural areas, they could still play sports and still make things happen.
Yeah.
They just don't have, you know, positive tests. They've got that control in place and things are moving back to a pseudo 2020 normal, so to speak. They're dealing with this, and I'm not sure how it's going to be here. I can assume that we'll see some of these things. There's a story out of Minnesota, which Lindsay is familiar
it's a
with.
Great place.
That because they're not playing sports in the fall of Minnesota, but they are in Iowa, that Iowa schools are seeing transfers of kids to go play sports there. So I'm assuming it's like, you know, I've got an aunt or an uncle who happened to live in, we'll just say Davenport, and there's...
They just bought an apartment, you know, in the last 3 months there. Just happenstance, but sure.
But you can do that. That's not illegal. I can move into another state.
Yeah,
I can
yes,
move into another.
Can.
I can move to another state. I can still play sports.
A residential address in that school district, you can compete.
So, but is this... Again, is it necessary for participation? I get it. We're talking about mental health a lot when it comes to kids. Last week, we talked about how Zach Ertz of the Philadelphia Eagles, he and his wife are all for playing fall sports because of kids having idle hands.
We are all about all of the things that sports provides for our youth in terms of a place to go, a place where you feel like you're wanted, that you're safe, where you're contributing to a larger thing than yourself, and how important that is to your everyday community and your future as an individual as well. Very aware. And there are going to be some of those athletes that, whether they're in Minnesota or from Nevada per se, and they're going to a different state. But there's also a lot of people that are just kind of like, my kid's a cash cow. We need to make sure that we're getting them exposure. We compete by any means necessary, Paul. There's a lot more of those people that exist, or at least they're the louder ones than the ones that are doing it for the mental health and whatever else. But I'm not surprised. This is something that we kind of talked about when we first started seeing these high school stories come out, because there are people that will do whatever they need to do to make sure their kid has every opportunity to get recruited or otherwise. And that's where there's a disparity of resources. This is not something new in the COVID. Just like everything else, it's only exacerbating the structural issues that are already there. But, you know, it's also if you do that. And you move your family around, and then you're all of a sudden, what if your kid gets sick, and then all of a sudden they're not getting recruited? Is anybody recruiting? Is anybody going to watch? Is the game tape really worth it? Can you do a different league? Because they're AAU in basketball, for example. There's an AAU equivalent for pretty much every sport. Is that more? But that's the thing. It just depends on whose pot is paying for all the money and how much liability they're willing to take on.
Well, I think there's many ways that kids can get recruited. I mean, the majority of recruiting is online, you know, text messages. I mean, the technology is a thing, you know, getting texted
right.
by coaches.
You need the context.
Seeing YouTube videos and whatnot. I mean, kids are making their own hype videos these mm-hmm. days. I mean, there's a million sites out there where you can go find tape on these kids if you just do enough research. It's
Correct.
Just about having that interview. So for some of these kids to move, and again, I don't blame them, if they feel that their prospects are high enough to where they want to go play and grab the attention, because my kid's dream since he was 10. Mm-hmm. I mean, and again, as a parent, who am I to deny my kid? I mean, really, if I can make it happen,
you can say no to your
if
kid.
I can, you can, but
it's allowed.
If they've got some dreams and I can see that in them too, and they've been, and there's something that's going on, and they know what's going on, and you know what's going on, and the stars are in
right,
alignment.
Do you really think that missing what? Just playing devil's advocate here. Do you really think that your child, like, it comes down to one season, and it might for some individuals, it might come down to these specific games that you're
yes.
no longer playing.
Yes.
But for the, really,
yes.
for all of them.
I say for a lot of kids, if you're not a D1 athlete or someone who's going to get a ride, especially in a lot of these smaller schools, I'm not just talking about football. I mean, I'm talking about cross country. I'm talking about soccer. If they don't have that final season, if they don't have that last little run up, mm-hmm. they aren't getting scholarship offers. I know this because I married one.
Yeah.
She would not have gotten one where she ended up. She would have not gotten that ride if she hadn't completed that entire year. Because
right.
in a lot of cases, some of these schools, they're not filling these spots until they see exactly what you did at districts, or you've come back from an injury or whatnot.
Or somebody on the team gets injured. That's what happened to me. I was a late add too when I was at Ohio State. One of the goalies got injured. They called me and I was like, yeah, like, you just got to take the opportunities that are in front of you. And absolutely, there are going to be people that are making this decision. But that's where. There's the what are we doing now, but how does that also affect the kid's future if they're still in high school going forward? There's people usually have siblings. Maybe they still play in the same sport. I've seen firsthand what happens when people start changing sides, even just in city, let alone I'm going to go to a different state and then come back in. All of these things. But, you know, like you said, Paul, if you're in that position, yeah, I have no problem, no qualms. Do what you got to do. You're the one taking the risk. But it's just... not all of us. I think there's a lot of people that have it in their head that their kid is that person and that's their athlete, and it's really not. And so it's okay. It's okay not to be the percent of the percent of the percent. There's more ways to do that. But, you know, it's just a really tough. The COVID affects the people that are the most powerless the most. And they are one of the most powerless. The high school kids, specifically athletes and just kids everywhere. It's just not a good situation at all.
College football players want to play.
Yes, they do.
They all want to go into it. They want to go.
With some rules.
Mostly. But it took them 20 minutes to put together a social media post to get all the kids in terms of Power 5 conferences. Mm-hmm. Hashtag, we want to play.
Yeah.
They know what's going on. They're talking about blending movements and
yeah.
talking about if we'll play under the right circumstances. But we want to play because we've been here. And we talked about it earlier in the program where kids have spent weeks on campus. Training,
putting in the work, doing
training,
what's expected of them.
Being mm-hmm. away from family and making the sacrifice.
Yep.
And they don't want to see it go away.
They're doing their part. They're upholding their end of the bargain. And we don't see this happen from some of the names that came together over the weekend, like Trevor Lawrence, like Chuba Hubbard, like Justin Fields. And as we've seen from the Pac-12 and other teams in the Big Ten and some of the unionizing stances for them. People are supposed to get this figured out, haven't figured it out. there hasn't been the best of communication. I know that's across the board with everything with the virus, but still, if you're asking them to lay it all on the line and put their risks and future at risk for in this time to save your business that you make money off of their backs for, and you're not ready, and you just show up, you're like, yeah, we got a couple of masks and some juice boxes over here. I know it's not that bad, but you can. I would be so mad if I were one of these college football players where I've been doing everything I possibly can, and we still can't get this figured out. And I know it's a really tall task, but when you're having college football coaches coming out saying, you know what, even if the conference says we're going to go do this anyways, we're going to go play these teams anyways, and you have like Jim Harbaugh saying, I know the facts. This is what the facts are. How does anybody know what's going on? No wonder nobody knows what's going on in sports or anywhere else. There's so many mixed messages. That's what I mean. I just feel like there's nobody stood up and said, yep, I'm going to do right by everyone, or at least we're not listening to it. And that's what they're kind of trying to do with these players. They're trying to say, you know what? If you guys can't figure it out, we'll try. We'll try to get the enough attention where it's going to put enough pressure on you to change some things, or at least expedite some of the processes that you're taking forever. Otherwise, you're not going to have it.
So you don't believe that the SEC is taking care of their student athletes?
Not saying that. I'm just saying that just because you put something down on paper doesn't mean that it's actually done in the real world every single day and every single interaction, which is what this type of situation needs. And it's a much tougher hill to climb as a collegiate sport rather than a professional.
Right, but they are different groups and different conferences, only united against under just a loose banner, which is the NCAA.
The student athlete.
The organization. I'm not even talking about student athletes. I'm just talking about individual conferences where the SEC, if they want to play and they have enough protocols in place, they can move forward and do that.
Yep.
They can make that happen. I don't want to group every conference and every different individual independent school, whether it's Notre Dame or Old Dominion, who decided they were going to call everything off today, into the same group.
It's survival of the fittest.
They know that some of these schools are taking care of them, and maybe the protocols aren't all the same when it comes to the smallest college in North Dakota compared to an Auburn of the SEC. We know that's not going to happen.
Right.
We just know there's a complete disparity between those two. I just want to make sure that we're not saying everybody's got their crap not together because of these kids had to have some sort of moment in their head where they went back to the school, and whether it was misguided or whether it was just loyalty or whether whatever it is, they felt confident enough that they could go back to school.
Well, and let's not act like just because a school has more money or just more resources or a bigger school that they're doing it better as well. In a lot of ways, when you have more of a skeleton crew, when you have a smaller school, everybody knows each other. There's a lot of fewer bodies, a lot less red tape that is involved. So that's that's the nature of the beast in terms of collegiate sports and everything. And that's why it's the most tough puzzle to solve. And you know, I would be nervous too, especially with what we're finding with those that if you get infected and that are having long-term health problems in terms of myocarditis or lung issues, and you don't have a safety net, and you're in your early 20s when your life is just about to start, you're supposed to make this big time decision with your not fully formulated brain yet. There's just some things that you can't really rationalize morally. I don't know. At least personally, I can't. I don't know. It's such a weird situation. I feel bad and it sucks, but I feel like somebody's going to figure something out. I don't think it's the NCAA. They've never been able to figure out anything.
Coming up next, there's a group that's going to take advantage of college football if they decide to abandon the fall.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
On Saturday, August 15th, from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., join Abel Baker Brewing for a ducking, fallacious virtual beer experience. Guests will be able to purchase their beer packages through abelbakerbrewing.com. Then they will be able to pick up their drinks close to the event and follow along during the virtual tasting on Abel Baker's Facebook page. Make sure to purchase your beer before supplies run out. The event will have brewmasters, entertainment, and lots of ducking, fallacious beer to taste. Must be 21 and over. Visit abelbakerbrewing.com for more information. Woo! Yeah. Did not swear. Take two.
There you go.
Success.
Hey, remember, if you want to hear Lindsay go right through that read once again, you can download the radio.com app for free to your Google phone.
My God, you're good.
To your smartphone.
Proud of you.
Through the Google Play Store or iTunes App Store. Stick it on your smartphone, open it up, search out CBS Sports Radio 1140, and hit the heart.
Heart!
In the upper left-hand corner. Well, earlier today we learned that the Mountain West Conference is officially putting a hold on sports for the upcoming fall season because of concerns brought up by the pandemic. The commissioner says numerous factors and unknowns outside the conference control made the decision necessary, mostly financial, let's be honest.
Yeah.
They just can't pay for all the tests.
And they can't pay for all the lawsuits after the fact in case people test positive and have rippling health effects.
So the whole idea of Sam Boyd Stadium being ready for a UNLV football game this year, not a thing.
Not a thing. Same with Allegiant.
Allegiant Stadium. Hopefully y'all got a good look at the UNLV turf that they installed through all the photos that were taken when everybody went inside. You won't actually have to see that anymore, to be honest.
Tis in 2021.
Right. Not until next year.
Mm-hmm.
No football, at least for this fall. They'll see what they can do for the spring. They're still talking about winter sports. That hasn't been put out there yet. UNLV is actually supposed to take a trip to Hawaii for a tournament.
I doubt it.
In November. Well, MGM over here at T-Mobile, they've announced we're going to have basketball games November 20th and 22nd involving a couple of Mountain West teams along with Louisville and I believe Arkansas. Those are still on the table. And they're selling tickets.
And basketball is a different beast when it comes to this. But again, there are a few concerns that I'm sure the college player, that college athletes everywhere will say these need to be taken care of before that consideration is made.
So that's the Mountain West that has just come out again. If you've got season tickets, I'm sure you'll be getting an email soon from UNLV Tickets to let you know exactly what's going on. And
we are sorry. The page you have searched for cannot be uploaded at this time.
Yeah, pretty much. If I'm them, I just put up a big 404 error on it.
Yeah.
And it's like, sorry,
error.
It's not here. Page does not exist.
Page not found.
Yeah, that's a rough butt.
That
but
is.
As Mountain West cancels the season, and we've seen others, the MAC as well, and there's talk that the Big Ten and the Pac-12 will make that announcement some point here in the next 24 hours, yes or no, that there is one group willing and ready to swoop in on Saturdays.
Oh, who could it possibly be?
Well, if they can get out of the training camps and onto the field, which, by the way, Hard Knocks is tomorrow night.
How are they doing hard? Well, I guess we're going to find out.
Yeah, we're going to find out tomorrow on HBO with the Las Vegas teams that the NFL is thinking about moving some games from Sunday to Saturday. And basically taking out some of the extra games on the Saturday or out on the Sunday and just kind of moving them to. So they would have four nights a week now. They would have Thursdays.
Yeah.
Saturdays, Sundays, and Mondays, just in order of how the week would go.
And they usually do this around the playoffs because that's usually when the month is where the college players have the time off and stuff, and they leave Saturdays open so coaches in their league can scout. You have the respect for the pipeline and everything else. But if they want to take away that Thursday game and switch it to Saturday, I actually like that better. I don't want every single week. I just don't want every night to be football related. You're just like, this. Guess what's coming up after this program? Let me guess. Football. God dang it.
College is already doing five. I mean, last year they went in 5 days a week because they were getting games on Tuesdays. Wednesdays was the MAC, actually. And then you'd have a Thursday game, kind of a primetime game.
They play
the Mountain West plays on Fridays. And then you'd have the full Saturday slate. And then occasionally you'd have a Sunday weird off game.
But you just don't see the same amount of advertising for the same matchups in college football. Maybe you just say, like, call it, it's Saturday. Like, that's college football Saturday. Like, game day. Like, you have to go watch it. But football, it's like, the Buffalo Bills and the New York Jets. And you've seen it 15 times. You're like, literally, I would rather watch someone paint.
Can Saturdays be a day for rest?
One of these days has to be for rest.
I'm just like, Sunday is the traditional football day. We know this. Monday night football.
Day of rest, to be honest.
Yeah, Monday night is trying to, you know, it's basically trying to be hockey night in Canada on Saturdays, Monday night football here in the States. And
Mondays to get through Monday, something to look forward to.
The problem is with Monday night football, it's never always the appealing matchup.
True.
You can't always flex into the Monday night.
Or
so you
super
get some,
late.
Yeah, so you get some just duds on Monday night.
Yeah. You're like, Miami and Jacksonville. Yep, let's circle that calendar. Kids, get the DVR set.
And then what happens is you tend to get the same teams that'll play on the Monday night. So then the matchup doesn't feel fresh. It's like, oh, really?
Correct.
I'm watching. And again, I'll watch the Cowboys. But I mean, it's like, oh, look, the Cowboys on for the fifth time.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like,
nepotism.
Okay. I'm like, okay, I get it. You know, Tony Kordasko, if he were here, he'd be like, hey, so I'll watch the Giants every Monday night. But not everybody
but
wants
a sickness. So we let him slide.
Not everybody wants to watch Daniel Jones throw four picks.
Exactly. Or straight into the ground.
So 4 days a week. I mean, I'm okay with 4 days a week. Your idea of moving the Thursday to the Saturday.
And just Saturday during the day.
Would be fine.
Because, like, weekdays after, like, that's just, we all know. Like, we all at some point go to the TV. I feel like most people do. And so just to have it where it doesn't have to be part of your normal everyday routine except for the Mondays. I just think that by having it Thursday, it takes a lot of the specialness of it away from the other Mondays and Sundays and everything. It's the best matchup we have. Is it? It's just the best matchup you've had in like 2 days.
Because we won't have quadruple headers this year because there are no London games now. So
they're not letting us over there anytime soon.
So you're all triple headers at this point with the 10 o'clock start, the 1 o'clock start, and then the 5 o'clock evening game. So you don't have a problem. See, this year's the year where they could afford to flex. Like in any way imaginable, they could move. I mean, that's the weird part about it is because of the way the rules are in place right now.
And everybody's so much more controlled and cohesive.
Right. In terms of like where the schedule is supposed to line up and how it's supposed to line up, they could pretty much throw all those out the window and set up CBS, Fox, and NBC just based on the current contracts with the three best matchups. And they legitimately could flex games into Monday night now.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not worried about fans anymore. In most cases, you're not worried about putting people in the stands to have to worry about, oh, no, I need to rearrange my travel plans. You're only dealing with teams and officials at this point.
Yeah, you're just making sure you're not having certain teams play constantly too late or that you're just having too late of contests anyways, or at least the West Coast, the East Coast. There's a lot less logistical concerns in terms of putting on the footballs, but in terms of the play, that's where all the work is this year.
I think they could really put on some of the best matchups if they decided to really flex hard and just go, hey, listen, you know, these two teams are going to get an extra day. You know, we're going to make sure that if they play on a Monday, they're going to get, you know, nothing earlier than a Sunday game at this point, and they're going to move the travel.
We'll see. There might be pushback from the Players Association.
I think the NFL right now can rearrange its entire schedule and just jumble it all back up again. I really do. They could shrink the travel time
let's
needed.
Add more work.
They don't have to move teams back and forth and back and forth the way they've got, you know, an East Coast, all of a sudden they can come back to the West Coast or whatnot.
Yeah.
They could keep them in place to where, you know, listen, sorry, you're going to quarantine in a hotel, but you can use the facilities, these teams. I mean, there has to be better ways where they can recreate like smaller bubbles without having to make teams travel back and forth and back and forth.
Well, didn't they do that where by front loading the schedule with a bunch of non-conferences so they can basically copy and paste that on the back end of the season in case things got super gnarly? And so you could potentially just do mostly divisional matchups, which are largely regional for the first couple weeks. Maybe they have to literally copy and paste those first 4 weeks at the end and just see where we're at if we get that far.
I'm okay with one game on Saturday.
Just one.
Just move one. Make it a destination.
The Saturday gauntlet.
Well, just make it a destination game like they've tried to do with Thursday nights. Just make it a real destination game for people to latch on to and go, this is going to be our best one. This is going to be our best one leading into the weekend. Something that people can kind of go, yeah, I mean, I want to be a part of that event. Otherwise, it just means nothing other than we're just going to occupy some space that would have normally been occupied by a college football game that people may or may not have been watching, that SEC window on CBS. I mean, this is suggesting, too, that college football is not going to play.
Yeah.
And they're going to just take over the space if they're going to take it over.
They don't care about the Mountain West, but they say if SEC says no, they're like, okay, fine, no fine, no harm, no foul, we'll stand Sundays. We're fine. We're
prime fine. Time, and, you know, is it an Amazon.com game again?
You could, honestly. I mean, I think just like every other sport, the more ways that you can consume your product, the better, the easiest way. Put it on TikTok. Buy TikTok. NFL. Why not? You got the money. Right?
Thursdays, Saturdays, Sundays, and Mondays, a possibility for the fall. That could be...
It's a lot of football.
Well, professional football.
Yep. And we've been waiting for it.
Right. It may put more eyes on a few more teams, which they could use at this point. A few more messages. If you want to push out a social justice message, it allows you to have that much more space to do it outside of having to pay Red Zone, because if you don't buy cable or buy a Red Zone package or whatever, you're only getting what the market is feeding you. You're not seeing it in other places.
And I'm in hockey mode right now. So like the life after the Stanley Cup playoffs doesn't really exist for me at this point. We're going to need something to do. We're going to need something to watch. So maybe all of the football all the time. Let's just start a 24-hour network. That's a great idea. Just all about football. I wonder if anyone's done it. Nope. We're geniuses.
Coming up, the nightcap. Lots of Vegas Golden Knights talk coming your way, along with some NHL breakdowns. And then coming up at 5:30, we do have the pregame as Dodgers baseball. Yes, they are still playing, and they're playing well. They take on the San Diego Padres. For Mark Bonilla, making things sound nice, she is Lindsey Brown. I am Paul Eihander. The nightcap on the way here on CBS Sports Radio 1140. And that's a wrap on the Playmakers for your Monday.
35.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.